We want to continue our thoughts today on open doors, but especially the necessity of praying for open doors. I didn't have enough time to consider a few points in the verses that we considered last time, so we want to revisit those very quickly before we look at a different aspect of this morning. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you, that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. Now, the Apostle Paul desired to be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. There were people that didn't have faith, and he didn't want to preach to them to try to well up the faith in them and get them saved. He wanted to be removed from them, and he prayed and he requested the church to pray for him to be delivered from those people because they would be a hindrance to the freedom and liberty of movement of the gospel. We also saw in 1 Timothy chapter 2 that we need to be praying for kings and presidents and those that are in authority that they will leave us alone. Not that our political agenda will be advanced, but essentially that they will not hinder us in any way in the church so that those children of God that God desires to be saved, that they can come to a knowledge of the truth, that the government does not hinder the freedom of movement, the free course spread of the gospel in any way. So also in conjunction with that, a verse we didn't have time to get to, in Romans chapter 15 and in verse 30, now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints. And now Paul makes this even more clear. Not only does he desire to be removed from those that don't have faith, but furthermore, he beseeches the church to pray for him, that he would be delivered from those that do not believe. It doesn't appear that the Apostle Paul was out there trying to convert those that don't believe. He simply tried to do the same thing that we do today. Preach the gospel. If someone believes it, that is an evidence of salvation, and I want to minister to that person. But if I preach the gospel and they gnash on me with their teeth, they have no desire for the things of God, I don't have a desire to hang out with that person and try to convert them to the truth. No, I want to be delivered from that person because that gives me evidence that they're unregenerate and I have no ability to convert them from that unregenerate state until they're born again. I have no desire to spend a significant amount of time with those people. I want to spend my time with people that do believe, with those that do show an evidence of regeneration and a new birth, so I can encourage them in the truth of God's word. So Paul consistently not just asked the church to pray that the word of the Lord will have free course, a liberty of movement, but he also beseeches the church to pray that all hindrances to the free spread and the liberty of movement of the gospel to be removed. And I would encourage you to keep that in mind as well. You need to be praying for us. You need to be praying for the ministry. You need to be praying for doors of utterance and the free spread of the gospel. But you also need to be praying in conjunction with that, that all hindrances and obstacles and stumbling blocks to the free spread of the gospel will be removed. Whether they're men that don't have faith, whether they're men that don't believe, whether they're unreasonable and wicked men, or whether they're kings or all that are in authority. Any man that restricts the free spread of the gospel through whatever means, pray that the ministry will be delivered from those people. Okay? We have seen that the church has a responsibility based on the authority and the beseeching and the command of the Apostle Paul to pray that the word of the Lord will have free course, to pray that the Lord will open doors of utterance, to pray that God will give his preachers boldness. And now we want to look at another aspect of those prayers. Matthew chapter 6 and in verse 10, we have the model prayer. This is commonly known as the Lord's Prayer, but this is not the Lord's Prayer. This is the Lord telling his disciples how to pray. This is the disciples' prayer. This is the disciples' model prayer. So in Matthew chapter 6 and in verse 9, he tells his disciples how they ought to pray. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, in this model prayer, this is the structure for how we are to approach the throne of grace, for how we are to pray unto the Lord. And that doesn't mean that we recite this disciples' prayer verbatim in vain repetitions. The Lord is simply giving us a model and a structure for how we are to pray. First thing we need to do is acknowledge God's fatherly provision for us and that His love is always going to be in our best interest. And that due to His love for us, He always has our best interest at heart, even if we don't understand it in the moment. So we first say, Our Father, which art in heaven, and then we exalt the name of God. Hallowed be thy name. We always need to come before the Lord in prayer with thanksgiving and praise and honor. But I want you to notice, as soon as we get done praising God, as soon as we get done extolling the name of God in our prayers, the very first thing that you should be praying for as a disciple of Christ is for God's kingdom to come. For God's kingdom to be advanced. Before you pray for His will to be done, before you ask for your daily bread, before you ask for forgiveness for your sins, and all the other things that we see in this model prayer, the very first thing after you get done praising and exalting the hallowed and amazing name of God, the very first thing that you pray for after that is the advancement and the growth of God's kingdom. Thy kingdom come. And I'll tell you, the kingdom of God needs to be at the front of your mind, and it needs to be at the front of your prayers. The kingdom of God and the advancement of the kingdom. You need to be praying as for all these things that we've considered, for doors of utterance, for freedom of movement, for the free course of the gospel, for the boldness of God's ministers. It needs to be at the forefront of your prayers. Why? Because I hope you desire for God to be glorified here in this world. And the way that He is glorified is by God's children being brought to repentance and to glorify Him for the finished work of salvation that He has secured by nothing more than Himself on the cross. And God's children need to know about that. And they don't just need to know the message of the gospel. They need to have God's word. They need to know all the rest of the teaching that the scriptures give us in the word of God. So at the very front of every single one of your prayers, child of God, you need to be praying for the advancement of God's kingdom, that God's kingdom would come, that it would be advanced, that new doors of the gospel would be opened, that new men would be called to preach, that new doors would be opened for those men to preach in. The kingdom has to be at the forefront of our mind. Just a couple chapters later in Matthew chapter 9, Jesus, in verse 36, says He saw the multitudes and He was moved with compassion because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. That's what happens when sheep don't have a strong leader as a under-shepherd, as a pastor. So this is what happens when sheep, first of all, aren't in the local church assembly as a member of a flock. And second of all, if they are a member of that flock, but they don't have a strong under-shepherd leader. And the Lord looked out at them and He saw them scattered abroad. He saw they didn't have any direction. They didn't have any leadership. And they were like sheep having no shepherd. And He was moved with compassion upon them. And what did that compassion that the Lord saw on His children of God, what did that compassion compel Him to do? It compelled Him to command His disciples. Matthew chapter 9 and in verse 37, And He saith unto His disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that He will send forth laborers into His harvest. It is absolutely true that the harvest is so plenteous, but the laborers are few. There's not enough men to shepherd all of God's sheep. And praise God that's the case, right? Because God's sheep is a multitude which no man can number. They're out of every nation, kindred, people, and tongue. And praise the Lord that His family is so vast and so innumerable that there are not enough God-called preachers to get to every single child of God. Not every child of God is going to hear the message of the gospel and be able to praise God here in time for what He's done for them and saving them from their sin. But that doesn't mean that our desire should not be for as many of those children of God as possible to be saved to the knowledge of the truth. But God's harvest is so vast. God's sheep are so numerous out of every nation, kindred, people, and tongue that there is just simply not enough ministers, not enough time in the day to get to every single one of them in the manner that we would like to. And I believe we really need to emphasize the point here that just like the Apostle Paul desired to be delivered from those that don't believe, the gospel is not to the world at large. The gospel is good news, but it is a good news letter to the children of God, and a letter doesn't mean anything if you're not the intended audience of that letter, if you're not the intended recipient. So the message of the gospel is not preached to the world to give them an opportunity to believe and be saved. The Apostle Paul didn't want to preach to people who didn't believe because he knew that belief is an evidence of salvation. It's not the cause of salvation. So we don't preach the gospel, and God does not call men to preach so we can go out and save souls to heaven. God calls men to preach so we can have them to be saved to the knowledge of the truth, to the knowledge of what Christ has already done for them, to the knowledge that their salvation is secure and finished in Jesus Christ, which gives them a salvation and a deliverance and a liberation from the bondage of thinking that they have to live a perfect life here in this world. No, you can't live a perfect life, but Jesus did live a perfect life, and he saved you from your sins by nothing more than his sovereign grace. And God still need to hear that message. But we need to understand that the gospel is not preached to give an invitation for anyone to be saved. The gospel is preached to give the children of God knowledge of the truth of what Christ has already done for them. Just how God already had much people in Corinth before the Apostle Paul got around to preaching to all of them. There were already elect children of God in that city that needed to hear the gospel, but they just hadn't heard the message of the gospel yet. So, God already had a people, but they still needed to hear the gospel. And in John chapter 4, and in verse 35, Jesus says, "Say ye not, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look to the hills, for they are white already unto harvest." In other words, there are children of God that are already born again. There are already much people in the city. There is already much people in your community. I believe that. Because God has a people out of every nation, kindred, people, and tongue. And I believe that God has people, elect children of God, that are seeking God's word, that are seeking the Lord in your communities. And I believe I can say that wherever you live, because God's family is so vast and so diverse, and he has a people out of every nation, kindred, people, and tongue. You see, God's fields are already white unto harvest. And he's the one who made them white unto harvest. He's the one who's born them again. He's the one who's given them ears to hear. Our message as preachers is just to simply tell them about what Christ has already done for them, to give them the knowledge of the truth. So the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. There's just not enough preachers to go around. There's just not enough preachers to get to all the children of God that need to hear the message of the gospel. And therefore, this is absolutely vital, church, for you to be praying for the Lord to send out laborers into his harvest. Verse 38 of Matthew chapter 9. "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." The fields are already white unto harvest. These people were already sheep. They were just sheep without direction and sheep without a shepherd. The fields were already white unto harvest, but there were not enough laborers to tend those fields of the harvest. You see? And the Lord commands his disciples, and I believe the Lord commands you as a disciple of Christ, you as the church today, the Lord commands you to pray that the Lord of the harvest will send forth laborers into his harvest. And I'll tell you, we need laborers in the vineyard of the Lord. We need laboring brothers who are willing to humbly serve one another in the church. We need laboring sisters who are willing to raise families and raise godly children and be strong mothers in Israel in the church. And of those men that are laboring, we hope that some of them have a desire to serve in the office of a deacon. From some of those laborers, we pray and we beg that the Lord will raise up men to preach the gospel. And I just want to be honest with you. The fields are white unto harvest. The harvest truly is plenteous, but it is absolutely true that the laborers are few. And I'm sure it's this way across all of Christianity, but I can just speak from the perspective of the Primitive Baptist. Even us as a small group, there are not enough preachers to be feeding the sheep and shepherding the sheep. There's a lot of sheep that don't have a shepherd because there are not enough men to preach to them. And I want to tell you, church, you need to be diligently praying for the kingdom of God. The church needs to be at the forefront of your prayers. Thy kingdom come. Right after you get done praising God, you pray for the advancement and the growth of God's kingdom. And right in lockstep with that, you need to be praying that the Lord will send forth laborers in His harvest. That you need to be praying that the Lord will raise up men to preach His gospel. You need to be praying that the Lord will burden men to leave the walks of life and to be fully devoted to the message of the gospel and laboring in the Lord's kingdom. You need to be praying to the Lord of the harvest that He will burden laborers to serve in His harvest and in His vineyard. You need to be praying for that every single day because the fields are white unto harvest. And I can tell you from the perspective of the ministry, I'll tell you, we need faithful laborers. We need strong young men to be raised up. And there is an absolute dearth of laborers in the ministry among the Primitive Baptists. And we need men to be raised up. And you need to be praying for that. I need to be praying for it, no doubt. But church, you as a whole need to be praying for that because the kingdom of God should be the most important thing in your life. I want to say that again in case you didn't hear me. The kingdom of God in the church should be the most important thing in your life, and your prayer life should reflect that. The very first thing you do when you get done praising God is you pray for the advancement of God's kingdom. You pray for doors to be opened. You pray for the free course of the gospel. You pray for God's ministers to have boldness, and you pray for the Lord of the harvest to send forth new laborers into that harvest and to strengthen us old crusty folks that are already laboring. You need to be praying for laborers in the kingdom. The Lord commanded you to do that. Now, I want to notice in closing, we need to be praying for men to be raised up to preach, but there is an amazing growth of the gospel, an amazing growth of the church when we see a ministry that is unhindered and has the ability to give themselves fully to pursuing doors of utterance, to give themselves fully to new doors of the gospel being opened and pressing into them. In Acts chapter 6, we see a church that has at least 8,120 members, but there's a good chance that it has 10 or 12,000 members. And when you have that many people, they were trying to care for the needs of widows. And of course, this was during a time when men were selling their possessions and laying them at the feet of the apostles to care for the needs of others. But it was in the middle of this that the ministry, the apostles, came and they ended up choosing out seven men, seven deacons to care for the daily ministration. There was some grumblings and some unrest among the church, so they appointed seven men to deal with the business of the church. But I want you to notice, in Acts chapter 6 and in verse 2, the apostles said, "It is not reason, or it is not desirable, it is not profitable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." Now, I'll tell you, I have to work a full-time secular job, and I'm thankful to have a good job that gives me good benefits and gives me good income. But that is 40 hours a week that I am hindered and restricted from giving myself continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Now, I'm thankful for Macedonia Church, and I'm thankful for the sacrifice they make to provide for me by way of monetary support. But the fact of the matter is, there's not enough to fully support myself, and certainly not enough to fully support any family I might have in the future. So I have to work to make up the difference. So there's 40 hours a week that I cannot give myself continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. We need to be praying for God to raise up men. We need to be praying for open doors of the gospel. But we need to be praying for a zeal in the ministry, but also a desire from the church to do their best. Now, I understand every church can't do this, but you can do your best to do their very best to free the hands of the ministry to give themselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word, to give themselves continually to labor in the harvest, because the fields are so wide into harvest. There's such a need of laborers, but we're in dire need of full-time laborers, not part-time laborers, not weekend warriors. No, we need men that are fully committed to giving themselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And I've got to go out and I've got to work a little bit. But churches should be seeking out how they can free the hands of the ministry to where they can give themselves wholly to the ministry of the word. Because do you want to see your churches grow? Do you want to see your churches be revived and be added to in a multiplied way? Look what happened when they freed the hands of the ministry from dealing with the daily ministration, the daily things that were distracting them from the word of God and giving themselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. See what happened when they removed the secular influence, when they removed all these other burdens that they had. Notice the effect of this in Acts chapter 6 and in verse 6. They appointed the deacons, the seven men, and they prayed for them. And then in verse 7, the word of God increased and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. I'll tell you, the church was multiplied. The church grew when there were men that were willing to step up in the office of a deacon, men that were willing to relieve the daily responsibilities of the ministry to where they could give themselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word, to where they could give themselves continually to open doors and preaching in new areas with a freedom and liberty of movement. Look what happens. Do you see how these apostles were restricted from a freedom of the full free course of the ministry while they were having to deal with his daily ministration? But now this burden is taken off of them. And do you see how the word of God is having free course now? It was restricted before because they had all these other responsibilities, but now those restrictions were taken off, and now the word of the Lord is having free course. I tell you, our churches are going to grow. Our churches are going to be strengthened when we pray for the ministry. But when the church does everything in its power to relieve the hands of the ministry to where we can give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. I mean, the proof is in the pudding. When you relieve the hands of the ministry and you have God-called men that are fully devoted to the harvest, that are fully devoted to the work, and they can give themselves totally to the work of the Lord, look at the effect. The word of the Lord increased. The number of the disciples multiplied greatly, and there were a tremendous amount of Jewish priests, a great company of priests that were obedient and converted to the faith. Look, we need to be praying for growth of the church. We need to be praying for men to be added to the ministry, but we also need to be doing our part to relieve the hands of the ministry to the best of our ability. And that's not so us preachers can take it easy. No, you're relieving our hands of work that is not our calling so we can invest ourselves fully in our calling and press into these open doors. And I believe this shows us a pattern. When those hindrances to the free course of the gospel are relieved, our churches will be multiplied. Our churches will grow. Because God intends for His sheep to have a shepherd. God intends for His sheep to know what He's done for them. And the Lord will honor that. The Lord will bless that freedom of movement as we pray, but as we also do our part for the growth of the church. May God bless you this morning.